Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Have you ever felt completely and totally overwhelmed by a moment? Maybe it was at work and the boss gives you a project that you just do not in any way feel equipped for. Maybe it was a promotion. Maybe it's a new career path. Maybe something happens at home. Maybe it's a family situation, but you just find yourself completely and totally unequipped, overwhelmed. For me, I've had this feeling many times in my life, but none more potent. He's sitting on the front row. I forgot you'd be there. Then with the birth of my first son, David. I was 25 years old, and when I say I didn't know anything about babies, I knew nothing about babies. Like, I had never been around babies. I knew what babies looked like. I'd seen them on film. And my wife Danielle and I, we were living in Texas at the time, and we had gone to her, she had a doctor's appointment that morning. A normal doctor's appointment, supposed to be a regular doctor's appointment, maybe stress to you, it was supposed to be a normal doctor's appointment. We get there, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, you're already in labor. Let's go ahead and check you in." And I started sweating. And I've been sweating ever since. We checked him in the hospital. Things were super, super easy. Easy for me to say. Easy delivery around that afternoon. He's born. And, you know, it's just like the movie. The nurse wraps him up, and he hands him to you. And I'm like, "Why are you handing a child to me? You are the professional." And you held him, and it's all the emotions, man. That's what you hear about. Like, it's instant love. It's amazing. And there was just this overwhelming sense of fear and horror that I was in charge of this human being, and I did not know what to do. I started looking at him. I'm like, "How much longer will you be in the hospital bed? Because I really need you to help out." It was so bad, guys, that when they moved us to the recovery room, he had a dirty diaper. And the nurse mentioned, "Yeah, you need to change his diaper." And I'm like, "You need to change his diaper." There's actually pictures. I don't have them here today, but there's pictures of a nurse teaching me how to change a diaper for the first time, because I had never changed a diaper. Yeah, I know. I was 25 years old. Never changed a diaper. But in that moment, I felt so ill-equipped. I felt so unprepared. I felt so out of my depths. And if you've ever felt that way at all, maybe new parent, maybe new career, maybe new opportunity, you are in a perfect position. If you can go back to that moment for what I want us to talk about today, because I want you to think back to that overwhelming moment, to that time where you knew you had to do something that you weren't equipped to do, you weren't prepared to do, you didn't know if you knew how to do it. And then I want you to imagine that the fate of humanity was on your success. That, "Oh, hey, this thing you don't know how to do, this thing you're not prepared for at all, I hope you don't mess up, because the fate of the world is on your shoulders." Because that is where we find the man we're going to study today, a man named Joseph. If you're a guest, my name's Trey. I am the pastor here, and we're in the middle of a series we started last week called The Story of Christmas. And what we're doing is each week we are studying a different character in the Christmas story, a different character from the Nativity that we've all seen dozens of times, because I'm convinced that there is a story behind their story. Because these aren't just fictional characters that we read about. These are real people, real men, real women that had fears and doubts. And this Christmas, I just wanted us as a church to pause for a moment and reflect on these real people, because there are amazing lessons that we can learn from them. In fact, if you missed last week, I'm going to encourage you, if you don't already, download our app at some point today and go back, because April Colquitt actually kicked this series off last week studying Mary, and it was amazing. This week, like I said, we're going to look at Joseph, the father of the Son of God. Can you imagine? "Hey, Joe, God here. Going to send my boy to earth for 30 years, 33, in fact. You good? You going to take care of him?" No big whoop. "It all rides on you, dog." I mean, talk about overwhelmed. And at some point, you know, as we've already seen through the songs and the video, at some point Joseph had to stop and think, why me, God? Why would you pick me for this task? And see, I love that question because I have been consumed with that question for weeks as I've studied and prepared and prayed for this moment. And I really do believe that God has revealed the answer. I think we can find it in the text. We can find it in Scripture, the answer to why God picked Joseph. And the reason I want to share the answer with you today is because the answer to why did you pick me for Joseph, was also the answer for how am I going to do this? How is this going to work? How am I going to make this happen? The same answer is true for Joseph. It's the same answer to why and the how. And so what I want us to do today is I want us to look at Joseph, because here's what I'm convinced of. The very same answer that works for Joseph can work for us. Because the reason God picked Joseph wasn't a trait he possessed. It was a choice he made. A skill that he chose to adopt in his life. And it's a skill I can choose and you can choose and we can all choose. And it is what will get us through those overwhelming moments. It is what will get us through those seasons where we don't feel equipped, where we don't feel prepared, where we feel overwhelmed. I believe we should reflect back and learn the lesson from the life of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. And I'll tell you right now, it's a very simple lesson. It's a very easy lesson to understand. It might be a little more difficult to put into practice, but that's why we're going to spend some time today talking about it. Because when I look at Joseph, what stands out to me, what I think is the primary reason he was picked by God, and also the reason he was able to accomplish what God wanted him to do, it's very simple. It's because Joseph knew how to listen. Now, some of you are like, come on, really? He knew how to listen? Yes, Joseph was a great listener. In fact, as I've studied God, the Bible, God's Word, both the Old Testament, which tells the history of the nation of Israel, and the New Testament, that tells the spread of Jesus' church, as I've studied it, Joseph might be the best listener in the Bible, because all he does is listen in the Bible. Joseph, the earthly father of the Son of God, does not speak one time in the four biographies we have of Jesus' life. There are no recorded words of Joseph. There are recorded words of Jesus' mother, Mary. There are recorded words of Jesus, obviously. There are recorded words of his brothers. But there are zero recorded words of Joseph. We see a lot of action from Joseph. We know about Joseph, but there are no recorded words. Also, when you reflect on what Joseph did for a living, he had to be an amazing listener. If you ever heard any of the story of Jesus' life, you know that his dad was a carpenter. Jesus himself was trained in carpentry. But carpenter isn't quite the best word for 21st century United States. He really had a couple of jobs rolled into one. Joseph would have been a GC, would have been a general contractor. He would have done jobs for people in his village. He built his own house, and he probably would have built some other people's houses for them, especially some of the wealthier people in town could have hired Joseph to build their house. Joseph also would have been a handyman, a fix-it man. He could have repaired things around, repaired roofs, repaired walls, things like that. Joseph also would have been a furniture maker. He would have made furniture for the people in town, and even some of the wealthier people, he may have had some custom furniture. And so listening was a skill that was definitely required for Joseph in those jobs. If you've ever hired a general contractor, if you've ever hired a handyman, if you ever ordered anything custom, you know the biggest tension of all is translating what you want to what they understand, so that you pay for and get what you want them to build, not what they wanted to build for you. And we know that Joseph was successful. He was able to care for his family. So he would have been a great listener. He would have had the capacity to listen, to understand, and to provide to people what they wanted. I envy Joseph in this. I'm going to make a confession to you today. I am not the world's greatest listener. I wish I was, but I have this terrible habit. Maybe you can relate. When I'm talking to someone, even if it's a conversation I'm really excited about and I want to be a part of, and like we're having a great give and take, my brain, rather than listening, will just start thinking about what it wants to say when they stop talking. Am I the only one who does that? I'll be halfway through a conversation. I'm not listening. I'm just waiting to talk. It's like they take a breath and I'm like, shh, I have something to say. It's so much better than what you're saying. And it's awful. Like, I know it's raw and it's bad and I'm working on it. I'm working on that. You can pray for me. Because spouses, I'll just tell you right now, your spouse loves it when you do that to them. Mine especially. She just loves it when I interrupt her. You know, it's like her favorite thing in the world. Actually, that's not true. The other problem I have with listening is probably her favorite thing in the world. Sometimes, you know, I can't wait to talk. Other times, I have this amazing ability to just zone out. Anybody else can do that? You're laughing, so I guess you do as well. I think it's a guy thing. Good job, guys. We could tune out, but probably ladies as well. I don't know. But in our house, our main living floor is open, you know, so we have our den and our kitchen are right beside each other. And so I can be on the couch watching television or on my laptop, and she can be in the kitchen cooking. And poor thing, we've been married 17 years. She will just start a conversation. She will just start talking, asking my opinion, telling me about the week. She'll just talk. I have heard none of it. There's something in my head, that maybe it's my subconscious, will eventually be like, bro, she is talking to you. And I will look up, and with love in my heart, I'll say, babe, I haven't heard a word you said. No, it's her favorite thing when I say it. Haven't heard a word. Can you please start over? So, okay, I am not the world's greatest listener. So I admire Joseph. I admire this quality in him. But it's really not just the simple listening skills that I'm so fascinated about with Joseph. Yes, it's a good idea to learn how to, you know, be an active listener and all that. But what really sets Joseph apart, and what I really believe answers the question of why did God pick him, and also explains for us how do we get through overwhelming seasons and overwhelming moments in our life, it's the same answer. Because Joseph knew how to listen because he knew who to listen to. Joseph knew which voices carried weight. Joseph knew when everybody's speaking, there's a few voices that matter. And Joseph's life reveals that he had settled in his soul who he should listen to. And what I want to do today is I want to walk you through the story. The very first time we meet Joseph, walk you through the announcement of Jesus' birth. Because what Joseph reveals to us is he knew who to listen to. And if we can learn the lesson from Joseph's life, if we can learn to settle in our souls who we should listen to, who will speak into our lives, who will have authority, who will have the final say, then we will be positioned and prepared for anything that could come our way. So, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. It's the first book we have in our New Testament. We're going to start at Matthew chapter 1. For those that may not know, Matthew is actually one of Jesus' disciples. So he either got this account straight from Jesus, who had gotten it from his mom and dad, or he got it from Mary, Jesus' mother. And he writes it for us in the beginning of Matthew chapter 1. Here's what he tells us about Joseph. He says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, we talked about last week, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Now, I've highlighted engaged there because in 21st century United States, engaged means something different. Engaged here just means you bought a ring and you're planning a wedding. But that's not what it meant 2,000 years ago in Israel. In Israel, engaged meant you were already in a legal contract. You were already legally bound to each other. To translate it to the 21st century, it would be like if you got married but then waited a year to move in together. Because essentially they would get engaged, they would become committed to each other, and then they would spend a year sort of getting ready for marriage. They did not live together in that time, and they were not together as husband and wife until that time. But it's not like it was just, hey, let's get together, let's plan a wedding. A legal contract had been formed. For all intents and purposes, Joseph was Mary's husband. Mary was his wife. They just hadn't moved in and begun living together as husband and wife. So this is the circumstance into which this happens. But before the marriage took place, before they moved in together, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, see, this is part of the Christmas story that we sort of say and we sort of roll off our tongues and we sort of move on. But I want to take you back to 2,000 years ago. And I want to remind you, 2,000 years ago, they still understood the birds and the bees. They still understood how things worked. And the Holy Spirit was not a known cause of pregnancy at that time. And so even 2,000 years ago, when Mary gets pregnant in this very small community, this very small town, people talk. They went to Facebook. They offered up prayer requests for Mary. But people talked. And they didn't say kind things. Because 2,000 years ago, they lived under, especially where they lived, they were Jewish people, they lived under the Jewish law, and Jewish law forbade this. It was forbidden. It was a very serious, sacred thing. So for Mary to become pregnant when she was not living with and married to Joseph was an absolute scandal. And everyone in the town would have been talking about it. Especially Joseph's friends and family. And Joseph's friends and family would have been speaking with one voice, saying one thing. End it loud and fast. Right now. Joe, the only way to protect your honor, the only way to protect your dignity, the only way to prove that you didn't break your vow, and the only way to set yourself up for future success is to divorce her now. Publicly, out loud. In essence, for Joseph to maintain his honor, he had to destroy hers. Because again, at the time, the Holy Spirit was not a known cause of pregnancy. And so Joseph had to decide what to do. He had to decide whose voice was he going to listen to in this moment. How was he going to handle what he perceived as the betrayal that his wife had committed against him. Here's what Matthew tells us happened. But Joseph, to whom she was engaged, well, he was a righteous man, and he did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And there's a lot packed into that verse. Joseph was a righteous man. That means he was a man of God. That means he understood the things of God. That means he understood the laws of God. It means he understood the heart of God, which meant he understood 2,000 years ago the Jewish law was clear. He didn't have an option. If she had been unfaithful, he had to divorce her. There was no way for grace. There was no way for peace. He had to. But his heart still said, I want to do it kindly. I want to do it nicely. Now, when I read this a couple weeks ago and I was beginning to study for this, I had a question that had been driving me crazy. Maybe you have it. Maybe you don't. Maybe this is just for me. But I want to know why Joseph didn't just go have a conversation with Mary. Why didn't he just go ask Mary? Why didn't he just go to her and say, what happened? And as I've studied this, there's a couple of possible answers. The one I like the best is after Mary gets pregnant, she actually leaves town and goes and spends 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth. My answer, and I'm going to confirm this when I get to heaven, I'm going to find Joseph and find out, is that Mary was out of town. Word had just traveled, and Mary was out of town when he gets this news, so he couldn't talk to her. But the reality is he may have talked to her, and she was probably 14 years old at the time, and again, no, Joseph, this is God's baby. You know, Joseph might have been like, woohoo, cuckoo. Like, who knows what Joseph thought. Or another equally probable answer is that Joseph was probably about 10 to 12 years older than Mary. That was sort of the custom at that time. The men had to be a little more established before a father would feel safe giving his daughter to the husband. And so it's possible she just may have been intimidated, maybe didn't want to share. Maybe she was still processing what had happened. So I don't know why he didn't have a conversation with Mary. I hope she was out of town. But what I do know is that he thought she had betrayed him. And he did not want her punished for it. And that reveals something about his heart. that reveals that he had spent a life listening to his heavenly Father, because that is not a human response. And so we know that Joseph was a godly man. We know that he knew the word of God. We know he wanted to honor God with his life. And even in this moment of great betrayal, he tries to handle it as tenderly and as kindly and as easily as possible. He has to end it. The law says he has to end it, but he wants to do it quietly. Again, sacrificing his own reputation in the process, but he wants to do it quietly. He wants to do it kindly. And so he's thinking about these things and he's praying about these things. And it's into this moment where he's still deciding that God speaks. Here's what happens. So as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And here's what the angel says. The angel says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." Joseph, she didn't betray you. Joseph, she hasn't been unfaithful. Joseph, she hasn't been untrue. What has happened to Mary is a miracle. What has happened to Mary is something that God is doing, and you do not have to run from that. You do not have to be afraid. You do not have to be overwhelmed. God is in this moment. And oh, by the way, Joseph, you have a role to play in this moment as well. That's what the angel tells him next. When the angel says, "And she will have a son." And she says, "And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You are to name him Jesus, and he's going to save the world. See, we focus on the save the world part, because that's amazing, that's good news for us. But for Joseph, what he heard is that you are to name him. Because to name him was to claim him. For the angel to tell Joseph, "You name him Jesus," the angel was saying, "You're going to raise him as your own son. On this earth, he is your responsibility. On this earth, he will be your son. He's God's son, but he will be yours, Joseph. That's why I want you to name him. I want you to be his earthly authority, for you to be his earthly leader, for you to be his earthly father." How do you prepare for such a moment? How do you not feel overwhelmed by the moment? How do you not shrink in that? You learn the lesson of Joseph, because here's what Joseph did. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. Joseph woke up and said, "Okay, God said it, I'm going to do it." And he did. He stayed with Mary. And they raised a Savior. And the reason God picked him is the reason it worked. It's because Joseph knew how to listen, because he knew who to listen to. He knew when God spoke, that meant take a step. And when God spoke again, he took another step. You know who didn't know that? Every other voice in town. You know who didn't know that? Joseph's parents. Joseph's friends. The rest of Joseph's family. You know who the angel didn't appear to? Any of them. You know what Joseph's actions confirmed in their heart? Oh, it is his. They broke a vow. It was scandalous. But Joseph doesn't hesitate. Joseph doesn't flinch. Because when his God spoke, he listened. I'll point that out. Because that's not really a skill set we just adopt one day. That is a conviction that grows stronger over time. This wasn't the first time Joseph had chosen to listen to his heavenly Father. Remember what Matthew told us? He was a righteous man. He knew the things of God. He had God's heart. And I believe he had been listening to God. He had been studying God's word, which is why when the angel spoke and when the angel said the words the angel said, that was what gave Joseph the confidence to take the step he needed to take, because God had been promising the Messiah for centuries. He had been promising that there was going to be a new Savior. He was going to come and rescue the nation of Israel and reestablish the kingdom, and everyone was waiting on it. And he had given clues as to what that Savior would look like and how that Savior would come. He did this through men called prophets. These were men of the Old Testament who spoke on behalf of God. And through one of those prophets, a man named Isaiah, he prophesies about the very moment Joseph just experienced. And I am convinced Joseph had read this. Joseph knew this because he had a life characterized by listening to God. And this promise about the coming Savior was one that everyone in his town would have known, because they were all looking forward to this coming Savior. Because here's what God had promised centuries earlier through Isaiah, when he said, "All right, then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. This is how you know the Messiah is being born. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. What gave Joseph the strength and the conviction to ignore every voice in his life, to ignore his family, to ignore his friends? It was when that angel spoke these words resonated in his heart, because he was familiar with them. He had trusted them. Side note, that's the benefit of reading the Bible. That's the benefit of studying the Bible. That's the benefit of beginning to trust the Bible, because once it's in you, you give God's Holy Spirit the ability 24/7, 365 to bring it to mind, to bring it to mind in a decision, to bring it to mind when you're fighting with someone, to bring it to mind when you need wisdom in that moment. He can bring it to mind, and I am convinced, because Joseph listened, because he trusted, that in that moment where that angel spoke, these words were brought to mind. These words were brought to his heart, and he realized, oh, wow, this is what we've been waiting for hundreds of years. And because he had decided in his heart to listen to God, he had decided in his heart that God's way was best, he was prepared. He was overwhelmed, and he felt ill-equipped, but he knew, if I just choose to listen to God's voice, he will guide me. And every other story we have about Joseph in the biographies of Jesus' life, that's what he does. Multiple times, God appears to Joseph in a dream and instructs him to do something to protect his family and to protect Jesus. Joseph, trouble's coming. I need you to move your family to Egypt. Joseph says, yes, sir, we'll go. And they go. Hey, Joe, it's okay to go back. I need you to go back. But this time, I want you to go live here, not here. Joseph said, yes, sir, I'll go. Joseph's life was characterized by listening to God and doing what he said. So why did he pick Joseph? Well, he picked Joseph because of what we said. He picked Joseph because Joseph knew how to listen to God. No, Joseph knew how to listen because he knew who to listen to. That's why he picked him. Why was Joseph successful? Because he knew how to listen. Because he knew who to listen to. So how can we equip and prepare ourselves for what's coming? How can we equip and prepare ourselves for the unknown? How can we equip and prepare ourselves for those moments that we can guarantee they're coming? We don't know when, but they're going to happen, or we're going to feel overwhelmed. We're going to feel ill-equipped. We're not going to know what to do. How can we prepare ourselves for those moments? We can learn the lesson of Joseph, and we can live a life that is characterized by choosing to listen to God's voice above all others. This week, think about it. Some of you already know what decision you have to make this week. Some of you already know there's a tense situation. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's a flare-up that happened in your marriage. Maybe it's a fight that's been simmering for years. And you're deciding, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? And you have an opinion, and your spouse has an opinion, and your employees have an opinion, and your boss has an opinion, and your friends have an opinion, and Facebook has an opinion, and the movies you watch have an opinion, and God has an opinion. Your level of preparedness for whatever's coming comes down to the one choice Joseph made. He knew how to listen because he knew who to listen to. The answer to all those struggles, to all those tensions, to all those moments, the path forward, the ability to be prepared, the ability to get through, the ability to overcome, comes down to the one question I want to ask you today, the one question I want you to wrestle with this week as we truly seek to learn the lesson from the life of Joseph, and it's this. Who are you listening to? Who gets the final say in your marriage? Who gets the final say at work? Who gets the final say in your parenting? Who gets the final say in your finances? Who gets the final say in all your decisions, in all your struggles? For Joseph, it was God. And he entrusted him to raise the man that would save the world. All because he made a simple choice. Do you know we can make that same choice? We can choose in our marriage what God say wins. But you don't get it, man. I've tried so hard. Oh, I keep trying. You don't understand. She doesn't listen. He doesn't listen. Everything I do doesn't work. You know, okay. God says keep trying. Because he did. Oh, you don't get my kids, man. You don't understand it. Grace, love, and compassion. No. God says love again. God says forgive again. God says pray for his grace and his mercy because it's new every single morning. You don't get it, man. That's not the way it works in business. That's not the way it works in the real world. I get this whole church stuff. In the real world, sometimes you got to cut corners. Real world, sometimes you got to do things. Can't be ethical. Can't be by the book. In the real world, you can't do that. God says you can. And yeah, God says, you know, if you go my way, it may not work the way you want it to work on the front end. It may not go as fast as you want, but it'll end better than you could possibly imagine. Ah, but you don't get it. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what she did. You don't know what he did. You don't know what happened. Well, here's what I know. Joseph raised a son who went to the grave for us. And as he was hanging on that cross, being nailed to that tree, what did he say? Anybody remember? He says, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. Then he says, go love like I loved. What would happen this Christmas if we embrace the lesson Joseph. If we decided that the best way to prepare for the future, the best way to succeed in business, the best way to succeed in parenting, the best way to succeed in marriage, that the secret to life was to learn how to listen by deciding who we would listen to. What would you do differently this week if you decided to live out the lesson of Joseph? What would you do differently this week if you decided God's way is best? I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm going to do what God says to do. What would you do differently? You know what you would do differently. Try it. Test God in this. It's Christmas. Everybody's supposed to be happy and jolly. What could be better than honing a skill that can change every aspect of your life by simply adopting the trait of the man who raised the son? You got anything tougher than that to do? Is the fate of the world literally resting on your shoulders? What was good for Joseph is good for you, it's good for me, it's good for us. So that's my challenge this week. Whatever it is you're thinking about, whatever it is you know what God says to do, but you don't want to do it. Whatever it says, you know what God would want you to do, but your boss says this, or your spouse says this, or your parents say this, or your inside says this. This week, just shut it all out. Just pray. Say, God, give me the strength. And step. Step into His voice. And you will step into more peace, into more contentment than you've ever imagined. Because God's word is true. And His ways really do work. Let me pray. God, we love You so much. We just thank You for Your Son. We are so thankful that You sent Him for us. And we're so thankful that You want to be a part of our lives day to day. God, I pray now that You will confirm in our hearts the goodness of Your ways. God, may You grow in us a conviction that Your word is to be trusted above all others. God, may what is said of Joseph be said of us. When You speak, we listen. When You command, we act. Because we know You love us. You want the best for us. And when we follow You, You can and will do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Give us the strength today to walk with You. It's in Your Son's amazing holy name we pray. Amen.